It's in a class of 39 known species of flowering plants in the mint family and found all over the world, including the Canary Islands, Europe and Africa. Lavandula is better known as lavender, and here in Surrey we're lucky to have our very own piece of paradise. Mayfield Lavender Farm has been around for 10 years, and what better way to celebrate than to feature in a Bollywood movie? Owner Lorna May joins me in the studio to tell us about all things lavender and what it was like when Bollywood came to Banstead. Hello, Lorna. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Now, it's almost 10 years since you started the business. How did the lavender farm come into being?
Well, actually, it goes back to, it started really as a Yardley project. And my husband and I met at Yardley when we worked at Yardley. So Brendan spent a few years at the beginning of 2000 trying to get a lavender farm to be started, to start growing lavender, because he wanted to re-establish the Yardley credentials. And one of the ways he wanted to do that was to grow lavender. And the only route he was allowed to do it was by doing a sponsorship with a local charity. So he set this lavender field up. I won't go into all the detail because, you know, it's quite there's quite a lot of it. But it took Brendan 3 years to start it with Yardley through a sponsorship deal with the charity. And then what happened is the company that owned Yardley at the time got taken over by Procter & Gamble, who then divested quite quickly of Yardley just as the lavender plants were growing nicely. And the acquiring company of Yardley weren't interested in the lavender field. They wanted it for its Middle Eastern market, and they weren't they didn't want to be a lavender grower in the United Kingdom. So Brendan got acquired by Procter & Gamble himself. The lavender field was left with the charity, and Brendan agreed after about 9 months, he agreed to buy the lavender from the charity and take over the lease, because it took him a lot of time and effort to get the lavender farm going in the first place. And so he agreed to take over the ownership of the plants and to try and maintain it and try and keep it going, because he'd been very passionate about it. And that's when I came in, and he got me involved in well, he stitched me up essentially, because our youngest daughter was about to start school. I was a stay-at-home mum, and when Brendan came home that day back in 2006 and said, I've had a mad rush of blood to the head today, and I've agreed to buy the lavender, and I've got a nice little project for you to do whilst Christina starts school. So that's how I got started in it.
That's some project, isn't it, to start?
Was, yeah, 25 acres is quite a lot of lavender.
So it was a difficult start in the beginning. So what challenges have you faced along the way since then?
Well, the biggest challenges still remain that we run our fields totally organically. So it means we don't use any fertilisers, any herbicides or pesticides. And we're proud to be certified by the Soil Association. And that's all well and good, and it's great for the environment. But what it actually means is that you have to hand weed the field. And we have over 150,000 plants. So the only way you can get in to the plants to remove the weeds is to get on your hands and knees and bend over for, you know, it takes days for people to do. We have a team of fantastic workers. It takes them a week, 7 days for seven of them working 12 to 14 hour days just to manicure the field, just so that you can, it will look beautiful, so that when the general public are invited onto the field, it looks amazing. You know, I think a lot of the time people think, well, the lavender looks like that all the time, but actually it takes an awful lot of hard work to get it to be like that. And also, we because we're organic, we have the grass growing between the rows of lavender. So that means that we have to mow the field on a regular basis. And there's probably about 52 miles of rows to mow the grass. So it takes a couple of days for that. So, yeah, they're the biggest challenges, really, managing the organic status.
And tell us about how it actually works, because I don't know too much about lavender. Do you actually sow your fields yearly? And how dependent are you on the weather in terms of the quality that you produce of lavender?
The field was originally planted with cuttings of lavender. if you plant from seed, you're never quite sure what strain, because lavender hybridizes very easily. So you're never quite sure what variety of lavender you're going to get. So the plant was originally planted with small plugs of lavender, small cuttings, really. And it is a perennial plant. So provided you look after your plant, you shouldn't need to replant for, if it's in your garden for, you know, you can have a nice garden plant for 8 to 10 years, or maybe a bit longer if you look after it very well. You know, for us, we still have the original plants. We will be doing some replanting in the next couple of years. But it you know, it is, as I say, it's a perennial. And actually, whilst I'm here, I might as well just say, because people are always asking me about lavender growing, at what conditions do you need for a good lavender plant? And really, I think if you follow the three golden rules, if you put in, the three golden rules are: make sure you've got a well-drained soil, so nice chalky soil, so that or sandy soil, so that the roots don't get waterlogged. That's the key thing. The second one is to plant in a sunny position, and the third one is to really cut the lavender back hard at the end of the season. That will stop your lavender plant going leggy and woody, and that's the problem that a lot of gardeners have. They just trim their plants, or they leave them at the end of the summer, and then the plant ends up getting straggly. So my advice is, at the end of the season, cut it back, keep the lavender for making, if you've still got some bit of lavender on your plant, make some lavender bags, dry the lavender and sift it and make some lavender bags.
And you can't actually do too much about what happens with weather, because I'm just thinking, I did have some lavender plants some years ago and the frost did for them. That was the end of that. Yeah. Nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, well, it's really only the, because you need to have an English lavender or one of the hybrid lavenders.
Mine was a French.
Yeah, French are lovely and the bees love them, but actually they're not very hardy and they don't have very much scent. So choose an English lavender or something like Grosso, which is a hybrid, and you should be okay with that. It's only really, you know, now it's that you know, that time of the year where everybody's dying to get out in the garden because the sun's come out and you want to get your lavender plants and other plants in your garden. But we say just hold off a little bit, because the weather's very changeable. If you put in a young plant into and it hasn't established, and then you get a frost, it might be quite difficult to keep that plant. But if it's an established plant, you should be okay. Even if you know there's lots of snow, and you know we've seen lots of different weather conditions over the last 10 years. We've experienced a lot. We keep a record of what the weather's been like on a daily basis, so we know how the lavender field behaves when you've got incredibly wet seasons, very cold winters, very cold springs, and when. You know, I mean, even back in 2008 on the 17th of May, we had a frost on the field, which we weren't expecting. And that didn't kill the plants, but what it did do is it damaged the flower. So it meant that the flower didn't reproduce, it didn't flower that when it should have done. But instead, because nature knows that the plant hasn't reproduced, the plant actually did throw out new shoots later on in the season, and the plant does flower later. So you can get a frost. You might think, oh, it's done some damage, but just leave it for a bit longer.
Let's talk a little bit more about, because you grow English lavender, and we tend to think of it as a generic term. How many types of English lavender are there, and what distinguishes them in terms of their use?
There are the biggest species, I suppose, are the English lavenders. There are other species, and within the species of English lavender, which is also called angustifolia, there are well over 100 varieties. Hidcote and Munsted are probably the most well known. But for us on the field, we grow Folgate and Myette English lavenders, and we grow those because they make a great perfume for the toiletries and for the perfume industry.
Let's talk about that, actually, because we often know about lavender as being good for relaxation. You know, a few drops of lavender on your pillow at night sort of sends you into the land of Nod. What other benefits are there in terms of the use of lavender?
For the lavenders, the any of the lavenders really that you use have excellent therapeutic benefits. As you say, they're great for sleeping. So sprinkle on your pillow. If you sprinkle them in the bath and relax and de-stress, it's very good for you. It also fragrances the house at the same time. Most people don't realise that lavender is actually a natural antiseptic and it's a natural antibiotic. So if you put lavender neat onto a burn, it stops the blistering, it stops the reddening, it accelerates the healing. I can't tell you how fantastic lavender neat onto a burn is.
I tell you what, when I was researching for this interview, I actually discovered that the essential oil was apparently used in hospitals during World War One, which is quite amazing. And even in Germany, they're quite cutting edge, actually, Germany. The lavender oil there is used for medicinal purposes. It's just amazing. Apparently, you know, a study in 2013 said that there's a real growing body of evidence suggesting that lavender oil may be effective as a medicament in several neurological disorders, as well as things that you're describing in terms of burns and cuts and that kind of stuff. I mean, the potential is quite immense.
Well, I think probably because of its many therapeutic, there will be something that registers in the brain to try to help the body calm and relax. And so that doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't work for everybody, but, you know, it is a known therapy. It is known relaxant. So it's worth trying if you're living a very stressful life, as a lot of people do these days. But, you know, as we said about the antiseptic, you can use it on cuts, grazes, insect bites, bee stings, headaches, anything really that's dermatological, you can add lavender.
And you're saying you can add that neat, because normally with aromatherapy you're told to actually mix it in a base oil or something like that, but this can actually go on neat and it's perfectly safe. Unless, we must make a proviso here, unless you're pregnant, because there are certain
with lavender in the first trimester that you shouldn't use lavender oil. That's really because it's a relaxant, and so they say it's a uterine relaxant, which could lead to a miscarriage. But certainly once you've had the baby and for the healing process, a few drops in the bath is excellent. So I would definitely recommend it for post-pregnancy.
Yes, it's important to make that note that it isn't actually officially recommended, the use of lavender while pregnant or even breastfeeding, I understand. So it's important that we make that point too. The other thing I was thinking, Lorna, is that if you have bees, you keep bees near lavender, you end up with the lavender honey, don't you?
Yeah.
Feeding off. I mean, that's quite an amazing flavour. Have you tasted that?
I do, but I have to confess that I can't taste the lavender in it. It is a really high quality honey, and our beekeeper was awarded the first prize in an international honey competition last year, which was great. I mean, the colour of it and the look of it and the taste of it was delicious, but I didn't actually taste lavender. But we have got a nursery in Epsom, which is 3 miles from the field, and a customer came in a couple of months ago and said that his mother had a beehive in her back garden, so 3 miles from the field. And he said, we can tell that our bees have been to your field because our honey tastes of lavender. So I thought that was quite interesting.
I tell you what, another thing that I found when I was doing my research was lavender-infused cupcakes. Have you heard of those? Well, sounds very Victoria Beckham, doesn't it?
You have to come to the field, because Debbie, who works for us, she makes the lavender fairy cakes every day, and she brings fresh cakes in. The trick with cooking with lavender is to have a hint of lavender. I'd say that our food products are really our biggest opportunity, really. The general public is extremely experimental, and, you know, we serve cupcakes, lavender fresh, daily baked lavender scones from an artisan baker every day. If you come down to the field at 9 o'clock, the scones, when he delivers the scones, they're still warm. And we do lavender bread and lavender biscuits and lemonade.
Lavender shortbread is another thing that I've seen. Mm. Not sure about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Got to get my head around it.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's the concept of mixing one unexpected thing with another in our consciousness. And we just have to open our minds. And like you say, we are quite experimental these days, aren't we? So it's really nice.
We've gone from serving 4 out of 10 cups of tea being lavender tea to 6 out of 10 cups of tea sold a lavender tea. So I think that's pretty amazing.
Now, listen, aside from its many known uses, I think we've covered the whole spectrum, really, haven't we? The encyclopedia of lavender we're actually compiling, I think, Lorna. Your English lavender has also found itself as top billing in an Indian film. Your farm stars in a Bollywood movie. What's that about?
Well, I suppose I should just say that we have noticed in the last 3 or 4 years a real interest and increase in the number of Asian visitors, particularly Chinese. But we do have a lot of Indian visitors and also from the Arab countries. And for the Asian continent, they believe that lavender represents love, purity, romance, innocence. And so, you know, when they see the field of lavender, they just go wild for it, which is incredible. So one evening towards the end of the season last year, it was definitely in August, I can't remember the actual date, I got a phone call after a very busy Sunday evening from a producer. It was about 9:45 in the evening, and he said, would it be okay to come down and do some shooting for a film that is going to be shot for which will be aired next year. We'll be there at 7 o'clock. We'll only be there, we'll be gone by 9 o'clock, and I'll give you X amount of money. And so I said fine, because I thought they would have been gone by the time we opened, but actually they were still there when we opened the doors. They were still there till lunchtime. And then it transpired, because there's quite a lot of crew on there, which is interesting for the general public as well to see a film going on. And although I haven't actually seen any Bollywood films myself in the past, I do have a few Indian friends who, and I took some photographs of the actors. They were very accommodating, and I showed it to the people I know, and they say, oh, that's da 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 da, and they're really famous. And so then I thought I should have asked for a premiere ticket, really.
You should have done. And it was a romantic scene, wasn't it?
It was a romantic scene. It was just they wanted to cycle through the lavender, and
I tell you what, and having famous Bollywood actors, I mean, what were they like?
They were really nice. They were very, very personable. I said, do you mind if I take a couple of photographs? And they were very sweet, actually. So, yeah, it was quite an experience. I wish I'd known that it was going to be so high profile. I might have been able to be an extra or something.
Well, this is the thing.
Background,
this is the thing, because the filming took place in August last year. The film is going to be released worldwide on May the 13th. Mm. And your lavender farm is basically going to be seen worldwide.
Yeah,
I mean, how does that feel to get that, to achieve that kind of coverage?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, I think, Brendan and I have worked incredibly hard over the last 10 years. It didn't always. When Brendan set up the field and when he took over the field, he didn't really anticipate the huge interest that there has been in the lavender. And actually, just going back to those early days, it was only when our harvesting machine in 2006 broke down that we ended up being bailed out by a grower in Kent who came up from across country to harvest our lavender. And we left the gate open on the field. And that's when loads of people happened to walk into the field. And there's lots of small holdings on Croydon Lane, but there aren't that many residential properties. And so for loads of people to come into the field asking to buy lavender, we were saying, we'll just pick some. And people were going home and they were coming back with IKEA-sized bags and secateurs and picking the lavender. And then we thought, well, actually, I think we missed a bit of a trick here. And so 2007, we then opened up the field to the general public, and it's got busier and busier every year. And then, as I said, about three or four years ago, we started getting a lot of interest from the Chinese visitors, and they would put it on their website saying, it's one of the top 10 destinations to visit when you're travelling to the UK. And so, you know, with the rise of social networking and Twitter and Facebook, you know, we've had a lot of people tweeting and Facebooking us, Instagramming. And because it's such a beautiful picture, you know, topographics, or whatever you call it, of the field. You know, it's got a lovely rise and there's a beautiful tree in the middle of the lavender. So to photograph it, it does look really stunning. And so people just keep, you know, keep coming, and we, you know, we just carried on working hard to make sure that we've kept it looking beautiful for people to enjoy.
When is the best time to come, Lorna, very quickly?
The best time is July. It should start flowering really sometime in June, but just to make sure, to be on the safe side, come in July. If you log on to mayfieldlavender.com, we will be updating on a daily basis the state of the lavender so that you don't have a wasted journey. But July's best.
Listen, Lorna, happy 10th anniversary. It's coming up very, very shortly, about a month or so's time.
Yeah.
It's going to be very busy for you, I'm sure, but very well deserved. It's been a real journey for you, hasn't it?
Yes.
Very well deserved.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. That was Lorna May from Mayfield Lavender Farm. To find out all about the farm, go onto the website mayfieldlavender.com, as Lorna said, or you can ring 07503 877707.